I absolutely enjoy Dropbox technology blog. They write about very unique engineering problems that we don't run into, in our daily lives. It's a very specific to their environment being a storage company, right? So, in this particular article, they talk about how their Magic Pocket, which is, I suppose, this is their storage engine, had suffered some write throughput latencies that they want to solve. And they were using an SSD cache disk. So it's interesting using SSD itself as a cache. Well, we know SSD is actually a persistent model, right? It's a persistent storage where you can write and guarantee that the stuff will be there. But they're using it actually just at a temporary cache in order to fully persist it to a back-end larger density storage called a hard drive, SMR hard drive. I'm going to talk about all of that. So in this particular blog, they talk about how they actually removed this SSD disk altogether and they purely switched to hard drives only. Because this is really counterintuitive. Like, we know hard drives are actually slower than SSD. What are we talking about here? Removing SSDs and using hard drives? Isn't that going to be slower? Apparently, it's actually not. It's going to be faster in the long run, right? So, how about we actually go there and discuss this article? And I'm going to summarize it and give my points as well. Let's get into it. Welcome to the Backend Engineering Show with your host, Hussein Nasser. This is the show where we discuss the art and the craft of building software and cover recent news on backend technologies. If you enjoy the show, make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel and rate it on Spotify and Apple Podcast. With that said, let's get on the show.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Welcome to the Backend Engineering Show with your host, Hussein Nasser. And I love, absolutely love these things. When I first read this title, Increasing Magic Pocket's Write Throughput by Removing Our SSD Cache, I have no idea why my brain went to the cache in the SSD itself. This article has nothing to do with that. They are talking about a logical SSD cache that they built themselves, where they write to an SSD drive and use it as a cache, right? So as a summary to this article, I'm going to summarize it a little bit and then go through port by port and then port by port, part by part, and actually tear it apart, right? So here's the cliff notes of the whole article if you don't want to watch the whole thing or listen to the whole thing. There's this technology called SMR drives, introduced in 2017. It's a hard drive, right? Hard drives, how do hard drive works? So there's a needle, there's disk, and there is like little bit slivers of areas where you can write to these to the drive, right? And you can physically put these sectors or tracks next to each other, right? Until there's like no possible way that you can make them so close to each other because they're going to interfere with each other. So technically speaking, if you pushed these tracks together to a small area, there's only physically you can only go so small, after which you're going to start losing data. Yeah? So there is a limit to hard drives. So what people find out is like, okay, sure, we cannot put them as close. This is as close as we can get them together, you know? And of course, there's like always, they put them perpendicular. These tracks are actually perpendicular to each other. So they can even put them closer and closer together. But there's always comes to the physical space. You don't have space anymore, right? So what people discovered is this technology called shingled magnetic recording, where, you know what? Let's actually put them on top of each other. It's like, what? Isn't that actually override data? Sure. But this will allow us to increase the density. So on one condition, if I shingle these things like a house, like almost like a rooftop, right? If I shingle them, there is a rule. If I write to the first track, you're going to override the next one, because technically speaking, you're writing on top of each other, right? So here is the condition. You're changing the whole game here. They're changing the software. The client-side software that writes to the shingle completely changed. Now you have to write in sequence. You have to write the first one, the second, the third, until you finish it. So if you want to change anything in the middle, sorry, you have to change anything after that. So you have to read and rewrite. So that's the condition that was introduced. That's shingle magnetic recording. It's been popular. There is always limitation to it, you know, because you can't just use something, right? You have to rewrite the software. Yeah? So they started using it because now you can get a hard drive up to 20 terabyte, which is wow. So naturally, SMR is the way to go. We have higher capacity. And Dropbox saw that and says, oh, that's actually fantastic. Let's go ahead and use it, because we need more space. Of course, we're a storage company. We're going to need more space, cheaper. The problem with SMR is it's slow to write too. And because it depends really on how the client is configured, because of this ordered reading. If you have random, forget about using SMR, random workloads, right? You have to rewrite your whole software stack, so it writes sequentially to take full advantage of that. So they said, you know what? SMR is not for us. I mean, yeah, sure, it's a good thing. We're going to keep using it, but we can't directly write to it because the clients will feel it, right? If I'm committing something and I'm uploading a file and I route it to SMR, it's going to take a long time, right? Maybe 100 millisecond, 150 millisecond. I don't know exact numbers, but that's the rough speak, right? Compared to SSD, which is blazing fast, right? Because it's just flash. There's no moving parts, so SSD. So naturally, what they decided to do, and that's a long time ago, right? They decided to, long time, it's 2017. They said, you know what? Let's put an SSD cache layer and write to the SSD. And once we write to the SSD, we consider this a commit, because we know it's persisted. Our SSD is not like it's going to crash. Even if it's crashed, we're going to use multiple hosts, right? We're going to write the same thing twice so that in case of a crash, we still have durability, right? So they have like redundancy and stuff like that. Once I write to the SSD, I'm done. Boom. Exit, right? Acknowledge to the user, to the client, right? I don't necessarily as a user, but whoever the backend application called that. So then in the background, I am going to take the cache from the SSD and write it asynchronously to the ASMR, ASMR. Right. Today I was going to write to the ASMR drive. This technology uses shingled magnetic recording. Okay, I'm stopped. On the background, we're going to use asynchronous writing, background writing to the SMR drives, and life is happy, right? This is called write back technology, write back cache, I suppose, instead of write through, where you write to the cache and then you write to the actual backend store. So this worked for them, except here's the thing. As SMR get cheaper and cheaper to manufacture, they get larger and larger. They said, you know what? We have a hard drive, we have a host with close to 2 petabyte of data. So that's 2000 terabytes, right? But we now they started becoming, the bottleneck became the SSD itself, right? Because now we have this huge host, right? With so much data, right? So we need less servers, but now everything goes to the SSD. The SSD became a bottleneck. So now what they are suggesting is like, you know what, we're going to get rid of the SSD and we're going to write directly to the SMRs, right? And surprisingly, they saw fantastic results because at the end of the day, yeah, SSD is faster, right? But what happened if you saturate it? You have, you know, 20 gig per second. That's it. You cannot get more than 20 gig per second from an SSD. But I have 2 petabytes per host. Like 20 gigabyte is nothing. You need the more data I have, you need the host needs to give me more throughput. So that's the problem, right? That's the problem they save. So they got rid of the SSD, short, long story short, and they changed the technology, their storage engine, so that it writes to the SMR. So that's, and they saw what? 10% write throughput at the maximum tail latency, right? So let's go ahead and get, that's the story, right? So let's go ahead and read through this and discuss a little bit. When Magic Pocket adopted SMR drives in 2017, one of the design decisions was to use SSDs as a write-back cache for live write, as I talked about that. The main motivation that SMR disks have a reputation for being slower for random writes than PMR, which is the perpendicular magnetic recording, right? I talked about that a little bit in the summary. To compensate, live writes to Magic were committed to SSDs first, and acknowledgement were sent upstream services immediately. Just acknowledge. Done. An asynchronous background process would then flush a set of random writes to SMR as sequential writes. So now, in the background, we're going to be smart. Okay, these are all random, but I'm going to collect them such that they are sequential, because SMR loves sequencer. SMR loves sequential. Right. Magic Pocket was able to support higher disk densities while maintaining our durability and availability guarantee. So this is in 2017. But hey, we want higher density. We got it, right? And this SSD saved us. This design worked well for us over the years. Our new generation storage platform were able to support disk with greater density, 10 to 20 terabyte per disk. And I suppose this they mean here, the of course, the shingled, right? I don't think there is an SSD with 20 terabyte. I might be wrong. A single storage host, because think of this, the storage host is actually where it's a server that accepts requests to store data. It's a completely custom thing they built. A single storage host with more than 100 such disks and a single SSD. So they have a single SSD per host. One SSD, right, was able to support 1.5 to 2 petabyte of raw data. But as the density increased, we started to hit our maximum write throughput per host. This was primarily because all live writes would pass through a single SSD. And the host is as strong as its SSD, of course, right? You can add all the back-end SMR drive as you wish, but if your throughput is your bottleneck is SSD, you're going to, of course, suffer the consequences of that. Of course, they say, hey, we tried to optimize that max throughput. We only got so far. Even with a typical NVMe, SSD can handle up to 15 to 20 gigabit in write throughput. So that's their maximum. You cannot get more than 20 gigabit in write throughput for a single SSD. That's very low for a host with 2 petabyte, right? This was still far lower than the cumulative disk, right? The bottleneck only became more apparent as the density of our storage host increased. All right, so here's a graph for those listening. We're looking at a graph where the x-axis is the year, so 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022, and the y-axis actually two. There is the number of servers and the number of I/O operation per second per single server. So we're looking at in 2019 they had around 13,000 servers, right? And each server were getting around 20 I/O operation per second. That seems very low. I don't know. Only 20? All right, maybe there's something else here, but only 20 per server. And move forward to 2022, of course, they lowered their server by half, so they have around 6,000 servers. But each server now getting, of course, more I/O, right? Because technically speaking, you lower the number of servers, but now you have more requests coming in per server. So they have around 240 I/O operation per second, right? That's fantastic. So we have more. But what they are not showing in the graph is the throughput. The throughput remained unchanged, but they didn't show us, right? The throughput, they didn't change. The throughput is like, how much can I actually execute, right? In 2020, we decided to address this bottleneck by bypassing our SSD cache disk for live writes entirely. We reimagined the Magic Pocket storage architecture to write directly to the SMR disk while maintaining the same durability, availability, latency guarantees as a result. We were not only able to increase write throughput by 15 to 20 seconds, you see, 15 to 20%, but also improve the reliability of our storage infrastructure and reduce our storage cost. Why did we do it? So that's the question here. Why did you guys do this, right? Throughput wasn't the only problem we were grappling with. In early 2020, Magic Pocket experienced an incident where a large number of SSD failed. Of course, drives failed, right? But this is something we never run. You and I don't run into this. These are like big companies that write, fill the SSD, maybe in seconds they can fill an SSD, right? Within a short period of time. These SSDs were added to our fleet roughly around the same time and followed similar write pattern through their life. As a result, many of these SSD reached their maximum write endurance around the same time. Okay. And there's something that they don't mention here, but of course, we have big limitations to like conventional SSDs. And I talked about this in other episodes, right? Where SSDs don't like random writes. And as you write to these things, you have to erase and write, right? To write to a new thing, to a new block, okay, you have to have a clean block. And as you fill up a block, right, and if you invalidate something in this block, you write pages, and some of these pages are now invalid, right, you have to erase this block in order to write to it. So you will find the SSD as the data started to fill up, you will notice the SSD doing something called garbage collection. It says, okay, I want to write to this, but I only have one page free here. I'm going to move all this valid data to somewhere else, erase this block, and then write your stuff. So this additional I/O is not something you did, but it's a side effect of from the garbage collection process. And do this a lot, you will get extreme slow performance at the end tail latencies of the SSD. What also is another problem is the over provisioning, right? Where in order to for the garbage collection to move stuff around to make space for you, you have to have a space to move this stuff around. And this is called the over provision. So it's around 10% to 20% of your SSD that you cannot use, not your data, it's the system data that moves stuff around up and down to keep this run. So that's one problem. Another problem is, of course, the flash translation layer, where you mapping a block, I think it's a block page translation, to the LBA is mapped to a physical LBA. So what you write to is very similar to how virtual memory work in the operating system. You write to a logical LBA, right? This logical LBA is not like logical LBA number 7 doesn't mean physical LBA number 7 and disk. They could be anywhere in disk. And they do it this way for the garbage collection to work, right? So if you write it somewhere, they can move your data around and they can just change that mapping layer, if you will. This mapping is costly because you have to map a block to a block, a block to a block. So you need to store it somewhere. Where do you store it? You need a RAM, you need a memory, you need a DRAM. So there is a space in the SSD allocated just for this FTL, the flash translation layer. So there is a lot of cost. A lot of technology has been improving the SSD, and I'm still reading about this. Still, I'm not very educated in that, but there's something called the zone. There is something called the zone namespaces, where they function very similarly to SMR, where you have like a big zone and you only map zones. So you have fewer zones than blocks, of course. So you need a little bit less DRAM. You don't no longer need over provisioning because everything is now host managed. You basically take care of the eraser and the writing, and you have to write in sequence. Similar, very similar to shingle magnetic recording. They don't mention any of this here. So I don't know if they tried zoned zone storage in there before they moved there. I would be surprised after maybe 3 years they would say, you know what, we were wrong. We're going to move back to SSD, but we're going to use the zoned namespaces. Because it's very similar to Shingled, right? Maybe. I don't know. This can change. And I think their architecture allows easily to switch things backward and forward, right? So it's going to be interesting to see where they go with that. So this is, they talk about this here. We tried a lot of things. We removed SSD and then we're now happier. We got better results. Updating our storage engine. This is, they show you how to they updated their storage engine. This is another thing that is interesting. So all these files that you upload, they arrange it into logical blocks. The word block is the most overloaded word in software engineering, right? If I say block, like to a software engineer, this means something. To a programming, this means another thing. To an SSD driver author, this means a completely different thing, right? To an operating system kernel developer, this means a completely different thing. So I really need to talk about, like, what does it mean to a block here? A block is a user thing for this Magic Pocket, right? And they arrange these blocks, which is like a fixed size of some sort, into extents. Right. And an extent is basically a collection of these blocks. So they have around 2 gigs of these extents, each size. Right. And you have an extent open and you have to write sequentially again. And this, the beauty of sequential writes is the goal so that they can write to the SMRs in sequence. Again, everything has to be in sequence. That's the condition here. You have to write in sequence to take full advantage of these things. So they open very similar to terminology to the zone namespaces, where you open a zone and you write to the zone and you close a zone. So you open an extent and you write to an extent and then the extent is full and then you close the extent. And then here's another thing. They make the extent immutable, so you can't change it. And this is how we showed, this is the old storage host. For those listening, we're looking at the shared SSD, which is that SSD that is used for caching. And then you write to the SSD and you get an acknowledgement immediately. And then in the background, they flush things to the SMRs. Yeah. In the new storage host, what they do is there's nothing. You just immediately write to the storage SMR immediately. Yeah. So that's the hundreds of disks here. That's the architecture. Here they talk about like how they change the extent. I suppose not the extent, the block metadata. So they can add the metadata itself of the block inside the block, right? Whereas in the original storage design, they had the metadata in the cache, but the raw data in the SMR. And there's no point of doing that. Why don't just put everything in one place? That sounds like a better design, right? Have everything in line so that when you read something, you have everything. Yeah? It's always a good idea to have things in line for performance. But of course, you increase the size with that. It's fantastic. I think you hear something in the background. That's my kid. All right. So now, the more I think about it, it's like, really, if you really, really think about it, how does writing to a hard drive is faster than writing to an SSD? Here's where I was really fascinating. While true, a write to an SSD, a single write is faster, right, than writing to a disk, to a hard disk. But we're talking about like 100 milliseconds versus making microseconds, right? Like in milliseconds versus in microseconds to SSD. But once you fill it up, right, and you hit these ceiling of the where the garbage collection in the SSD start rearing its head and start moving things around, and these algorithms of even wear leveling, if there's wear leveling algorithms implemented in the SSD, start moving things around, you will get slower and slower writes in the SSD. So the old architecture, they were getting, the latency was around, what I'm reading, 750 milliseconds with the SSD. which is, wow, that's really slow, right? 750 milliseconds. But we're talking P99. Here's like, that means if you translate this, that means 99% of their requests are lower than 750 milliseconds. So that means the highest were 750 milliseconds. That's how you translate it, basically. Right? With their new architecture, they went down to, I can't read this, man. It's like, 250 milliseconds, I think. That's like half of that, yeah. 250 milliseconds, they're P99. So that's a way lower latency. Although a single operation is faster than SSD than hard drive, which is, we're talking micro and milli, accumulatively, they were better in the long run, right? And the throughputs, whoa, we're talking 1.5, 1500 throughput, which is like writes per second, versus only 500. That's like, 3x. So writing without an SSD is actually faster. Why? Because the SSD were the bottleneck. Now we don't have that. We just write parallel to all these beautiful disks, right? We almost like fanned out in this case. It's fascinating to read about all this stuff. But again, I don't know what would happen if they experimented with like the same caching layer, but multiple SSDs with zoned namespaces. They would definitely get more disk space, more density with zoned namespace-based SSD, but I don't know. They get better, and I think their latency was going to be better while they will not need to do any of these changes, right? Add a couple of, instead of a single SSD, add a couple of them, right? That would be interesting to see what would happen in that case. I wish they actually had a section where they say, hey, by the way, we explored with these technologies and it didn't work for us. But again, everything is new. We're talking the zoned namespaces came in 2020 maybe? Like that's when I started learning about it and reading about it. So it's actually interesting. So that's the rollout. What did they do to roll this out? With the success of our Hack Week project, we decided to prepare the future for production. The feature, sorry. We started with a subset Magic Pocket host. The more confidence we gain, the more hosts we include. This is a standard rollout process where, of course, the API should never change here. The API should be identical, right? Only the backend change. That's standard, you know, whatever you call it, blue, green deployment or A/B testing. Every day they change the name. So it's like you introduce a new version and then the API doesn't really change, so your clients doesn't really change, so your end client, right? How the function is executed changed. So the new host will take this, and at the end of the day, if the read function and the write function is the same, nothing changes, right? So as long as the return format is the same, nothing will break, right? So that's how they, by the end of Q1 2020, all SSDs have been successfully removed. So by the end of Q1, so that's early 2022, huh? Magic Pocket and our storage costs were writing directly to SMR drives. Now that we are no longer limited by the throughput of our SSD, our write throughput access storage fleet has increased by 20%. This has helped us meet the overall increasing throughput, new Magic workload, while keeping our storage fleet the same size. There have been other benefits too. On average, 8 to 10 SSD disks would fail each month. Wow, really? So really, SSD fail more frequent than disk, huh? Than hard drive. Requiring the data center operation to manually inspect, repair, and replace each drive. Removing our SSD cache disk eliminates the single point of failure and has also reduced our repair rate. And the one less component to design, removing SSD has also reduced the complexity of our hardware platform design. So this tells me that they are not going to introduce SSDs back. I don't think so. Because now their hardware team is now more specialized. Everyone in the hardware team has nothing to do with SSDs. Yeah, here and there, but primarily now everything is SMR. So they need to learn everything about SMR. They invested a lot about this technology. But I don't know how SMR drives last. Like, fantastic. 8 to 10 SSD fails. That's, I never heard about this. That's actually interesting. The project has been a big win for reliability. Again, this is a fantastic article. And all, I'm gonna link it below for you to read through. But yeah, it's interesting reading through these, you know, special cases. You know, like again, this is a huge project, and even writing this article. So let's shout out the authors here: Ankur Kulshir Sta, Rajat Ghul, and Sandeep Umadi. Right, fantastic work writing on this article. But yeah, it's just like fascinating. There's always things you can improve. There's always things you can nitpick, right? I didn't make this video to nitpick. I'm just really admiring transparently writing about your technology. Like, not a lot of people do that, right? Because you say, hey, this is what you did, this is what we learned, this is what we're doing, maybe we're going to do better, right, in the future. So it's just this 20-15%, like, is it too much? Maybe it's not, right? Like on the grand scheme of things, but it is fascinating to see this change. And I'm pretty sure they're going to continue improving this architecture. I found it very interesting. I thought I'd share my my two cents on this. Yeah, again, it would be nice to see how zoned namespaces, for example, performed, right, as a cache layer. That'd be interesting to see. But it seems like their main problem was the SSDs were failing a lot. So introducing zoned, I don't think zoned namespaces are any better compared to the regular SSDs, right? Again, there's so much unknown, and I'm not really a storage engineer, right? Now, a hardware engineer, but I love reading from you know, the experts and just learning about these new things, right? And yeah, hope you enjoyed this episode. Guys, see you in the next one. Goodbye.